Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. As believers, how we use our time determines our effectiveness for God. At the end of this life, we'll be judged on our deeds, deeds that took place as the clock ticked off the minutes, days, and years. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're now in a series on the joy of generosity, and today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a challenging message on Christ, the Lord of our time. We're reminded of fulfilled prophecies of the past and the certainty of God bringing future events to pass as well.
What is the next step? Well, the next step is to tattoo the number either on your head or your hand so that you wouldn't be able to lose it. And by the way, if we had a cashless society, you realize, of course, it would cut out all this drug nonsense. We could take care of the drug problem today because there would be no money that could possibly change hands between people under the table, so to speak, that all financial transactions would have to go through a giant computer, which then could be traced, and all of the drug problems in the United States and the hidden crime and all that could pretty well be looked after if we went that direction. And that's happening now. That's the direction in which Europe is moving, precisely as the Bible has predicted 3,000 years ago through the prophet Daniel and through other predictions in the book of Revelation 2,000 years old. God says that this is going to happen, and it's happening. And very gently and lovingly and speaking, first of all, to my own heart and secondly to yours, could I say to you, wake up, wake up. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Even if we live a normal life, our salvation is nearer than when we believe, because soon we're going to be standing before God and we're going to have to give an account for the way in which we lived. And what a pity to have to tell him that basically we spent our life earning a living. And that's it. What an awful thing to have to say, to look into the face of Jesus who gave himself for us and say, well, all that I can tell you is that I earned a living. And that you were not number one on my list of priorities, and the time you gave me was frittered away with things that burn at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's all over, and you can't relive it, and not one minute will be given to you to relive by God. The first command is redeem the time. The second command clearly is to understand the time. Thirdly, I want to say that the command is to use the time, to use the time. What is it that is essential? I mentioned to you a few moments ago that there are some people who plan to be successful. They plan their lives in all kinds of educational pursuits and career goals, and they think that godliness is going to happen by itself without any planning, without any planning. I'd like to give you something to ponder. Did you know that I think it is true to say that your love for God and my love for God should be measured by the amount of time that we give him? That's fair enough, isn't it? Isn't your love for your wife, your love for your boyfriend or girlfriend determined essentially by the amount of time invested in that relationship? If you this past week did not spend some quality time with God to have your soul refreshed, how do you think that makes him feel? That to think that he could be so unimportant in your schedule? The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And there's no way to love him unless you give him time. Secondly, I'd like to say that the love for God is not only measured by the length of time, but also our love for God is measured by the quality of the time that we give him. You know, psychologists are always telling us parents to spend quality time with our children. What they're saying is don't just give your kids a few tired moments at the end of the day. Give your children moments that are important, moments when you are at your best, moments when you are able to function at peak performance, moments that are special to you. Make some tough choices for your children. You know, that's what God wants us to do for Him, is to make some tough choices for Him. Not just give Him some tired moments before we go to bed, but to take out some very important moments when we could be doing other things and say, these moments belong to God. And I could be doing 20 other things. And it means so much to God because He knows I could be doing 20 other things. And just to think I chose Him above all of these other responsibilities that could fall upon my lap. What I'm saying to you today is, please give God quality time. Are you into CADVAD? Last fall we talked about chapter a day, verse a day, this little booklet, which I think, incidentally, we have for sale in our bookstore. And all that you do, and I'm just so gratified at the number of people who said that it has changed their devotional life. You answer the questions on various sections of Scripture, and every single day you begin to do that until it becomes so much a part of you, you say to yourself, there's no way I could live a day without fellowship with God. That's what He's after. Love is measured by the quality of your time. One day, you remember Martha and Mary. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. My wife always says that Martha gets a bad deal because we do need the Marthas. That's true. But Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The implication is that what Martha was doing would be taken away from her. Notice it says, Martha was cumbered about with many things, and she became very critical. And people who are busy for God but don't have the heart of God are going to be very critical people. They're going to be miserable people. They're going to be looking at other people with all kinds of criticisms because their own heart isn't right. And then you'll notice it says that Mary chose the one thing. And Jesus said, there is only one thing that is needful, really only one. You've heard me say before that we make life far too complicated, don't we? There's only one thing that's important, and that is our walk with the Almighty. And it's amazing how everything else fits into place. My dear friend, it is time. It's time. It's always time to pray. Always time to pray. It's always time to be reconciled with some brother or sister with whom you are out of fellowship. Some of you are avoiding problems in your life, problems of reconciliation, because they are so painful. There are people to whom you should go and ask forgiveness. There are letters that should be written. There are phone calls that should be made, and you're not making it because you know it is so, it makes you uneasy. Well, it is time. It's time. It's time to be cleansed. Some of you perhaps are allowing sin to stack up in your life and saying, I'm not going to get right with God until I know I can really live for Him. If that's the case, you may never ask His forgiveness because you can never be assured that finally you're going to live victoriously. It is time to be cleansed and forgiven and washed through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's time to do that. You know, also, it's time to be saved. The Apostle Paul says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Some of you here today have never believed on Christ personally. You've never received Him into your heart. You've never been converted and changed by God. That's not happened. It's time to do it. Today is time, the time to do it. And I want you to know that it is never too late to do what is right. Some of you say, oh, but I've blown it so badly. There's only one way to give God your time, and that is to give God yourself. To be so yielded to God to simply say, Lord, this year, I want to give you time. I want to make a list of priorities. I want to decide what I'm going to do, and I'm going to make some tough decisions to prove to God that my time is His time. That's what God wants. All the clutter messes things up, has to go. Of course, the day will come when you won't have any time on planet Earth. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to say just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we own to do his precious will. Do not wait until tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. It's all going to be all over. That no more time. It's gone. What I want to do in these four messages on stewardship, beginning with time, and then we'll talk about talents and treasures and all the other things that God has given us, I want to give you an opportunity to give yourself to God, to say, Lord, forgive me for wasting time. Forgive me for all the things, the disorganization, the fruitless things that I'm doing. Lord, today I give you myself and I give you my time. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and as I mentioned a few days ago, this message is just as much for me as it is for you. In fact, as I've been thinking about this, I realize that someday I will stand in God's presence and I will give an account to Him for the way in which I used my time. And I believe that that judgment seat could be very, very embarrassing simply on that issue alone. Now, here's what I've learned very quickly. First of all, technology does not necessarily help us save time. You remember when we were told that if we had cell phones and computers, this would save time. Well, the problem is that our time is simply filled up now with these things, and technology seems to steal time. So we need to be very, very careful. There are so many people who waste time on the computer because of all of its many options, and so they aren't able to walk with God at all because of the fact that all their time is used by this technology. I remember when I was in the Soviet Union, we were told at that time that people had to stand in line perhaps 3 hours just to wait for a loaf of bread. And some of the Christians said to us, my, the Americans must be very, very godly people because they don't have to stand in line. They don't have to waste so much time. Think of all the time that they have to read their Bibles and to pray. Well, of course, as you well know, we use our time for other things. Time tends to fill up its vacuum, and we've got lots of other things. Now, I'm going to conclude in a moment, so here's my suggestion to you. Take a piece of paper and write down all of the things that you do, and then go through and stroke out that which is least important, that which you could get away with not doing, and then begin to prioritize your time around that which God wants you to do. Let those motivations become your centrifugal force, and when that happens, we will all be obeying the scripture which says, redeem the time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer's series is on the joy of generosity, a study of how we use our time, talents, resources, and affections. Today, our lesson was on Christ, the Lord of our time. On our next Running to Win, a message on Christ, the Lord of our talents. This entire series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.